Start your daily Torah, it was your captain.
Morning. What I talk about today, although there's been a series of the Kodal, there's a lot of, when a person buys something, there's a lot of parts to it. There's one part that's often overlooked, and it's a very vital part of every mechira, and every time you sell something, or you hire a worker, or you hire someone to fix your car, or whatever it may be, and that is the fact that you have to pay. And how much you have to pay. So in general, when you, for example, if you buy a car, so we know that if before you do a kinyan, you shouldn't back out, it's mechusa mon. If you already told him you're going to buy it, then if you back out, it's not, you can't take him to bed then, but it's called mechusa mon, it's not considered the correct thing to do. And once you do a kinyan, whatever that may be, then there's no way of backing out unless there's a fault with it. If there's a mum or there's a problem with it, then you can't back out, and you automatically become liable to whatever price you agreed on. Now, not only do you become mechayev on the price you agreed on, you also become mechayev exactly how you agreed it should be paid. So if you agree by a certain date, you have to pay by that date. If you agree it'll be cash or be a different way of certain type of cash, certain notes, whatever you agree on, you automatically become mechayev to pay that amount of money by that time in the same way that you promised. And that is because as soon as you do a kinyan in the item, that itself is mechayev you to pay this money. So too, if you hire a worker, whatever agreement you made with him, how are you going to pay and when you're going to pay, you become mechayev to pay that amount and buy a worker. It's even more chomel because the Torah says that a worker usually relies on that money to live day by day. And therefore, if you don't pay on time, then there's lavim and an assay that you have to pay on the day. Also not. Once the kinyan has been done, neither of them... After the kinyan, then neither of them could back out.
What is a kinyan?
So that depends. Every case will... Every item is different, and with a worker, it's usually when he starts working, or if you do a specific kinyan that even before he starts working, for each case, it will need whatever kinyan applies in that case. And once that kinyan is done, then automatically neither of them could back out, and whatever price was agreed... It depends what you're buying. If you're buying... So selling a house is complicated nowadays because we don't do... It's either the kesef when you give over all the money, or it could... Either when you give over all the money, or it could be that when you sign the contract, the TR1, and you do it all with the solicitor, and he's confirmed it, then that itself could be a kinyan called situmta, which is that if, since that's the way of selling houses nowadays, that itself transfers the ownership. Saying something is not a kinyan, no. And it's mechusa mon, you're not allowed to back out, but it's not a kinyan. You won't be able to take him to Beis Din over it. But now the question is, though, so now he owes the money. What happens, let's talk about a case, someone selling his car because he wants to buy a new car. And selling it for £2,000, he's going to use that money towards his new car. And the person says, don't worry, I'll pay you by the end of the week so you can get your new car. Comes the end of the week, he says, where's my money? He says, sorry, something came up. I'll have it for you sometime in the near future. So he calls him back on Sunday, Monday, don't worry, it'll come. Now he's stuck, he doesn't have a car. He wants to back out from the sale. So now the problem is, seemingly, that since the kinyan was already done, the car was sold, and it's just that he owes the money, it's the same way this person may owe other people money, and how can he use that to get his car back? The car belongs to the buyer, not the seller, and therefore even though he's not paying him the price of the car, who said that's enough of a reason to cancel the sale? Does he have any right to cancel the sale and say, look, if you're not paying me by the date that we agreed, I'm cancelling the kinyan, I'm taking back my car, and then you don't have to pay me the money. Or do we say, no, the sale is a sale, he owes the money, the same way he owes money to other people, he'll owe money to you, and you'll have to try to reclaim your money. So there are a few ways, three ways we're going to come to, which are ways where he can actually reclaim his item back. And we'll see, it depends on the case, and it depends, and there's nafkuminas between them. So, for now, we're only talking about when he's already given over the car. So he did the kinyan, the person has the car. So the question is, can he go and reclaim it? So the first din, it could be someone spoke about it already here, but go through it, is a din of Ayav Nofik Azuzi. It's called the Gemara, and it's Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch says that when you sell a property, let's say, and the buyer doesn't pay, and he comes and asks you, and the seller comes and asks him for the money a few times, and he refuses to pay the money, then the Gemara says that he could cancel the sale because he didn't do it adas not to get the money, and therefore even if at a later date when he comes tomorrow with the money, he could say, sorry, because he didn't pay me on time, I'm cancelling the sale. That's a halacha paskin and Shulchan Aruch. The problem with that halacha though is that it's very limited. It has a lot of rules how, when you could use it. It has to be that you were meant to pay on the day. It has to be that it was clear you were selling it because you needed the money and not for other reasons. Let's say that's your business or whatever. You didn't actually need the money on that day. You also have to be, he has to come to you twice on the day, and you have to push him away. It's a whole set of rules. So it's very unlikely to have such a scenario.
Huh?
Right, so the Avinah says even if he has only not paid a small part of it, even if he's paid most of it, if he hasn't paid some of it, you can also...
They paid exchange money.
Right, what? But he hasn't paid the rest. He wants the rest.
He's got
right, that's the question. Can you use the fact that you're not paying, even if it's a small amount, even if you've paid, let's say, 50%, 60% of the value, end of the day, I need all that money. I only sold it because I was going to get the full amount. Without the full amount, it's not worth it for me. So the Nesivos there says that all this whole din that's complicated is all talking about where the person now is willing to pay, and he never told him he's not going to pay, he had to go home, he was just pushing him off. But whereas if you have a case where the person is not giving you a clear answer when he's going to pay, he says, I don't have the money at the moment, no, I'm not going to pay, I will pay, but I don't know when. I don't know how I'm going to get the money, I don't know when I'm going to get the money, but don't worry, it will happen. He says in such a case it's obvious that a person wouldn't sell an item in such a scenario. He only sold it because he thought he was going to get paid, and he thought there was going to be a plan when he's going to get paid. If there's no clear plan when he's going to get that money, says in the Sivas, he could cancel the sale and ask for the item back, even if he's paid half or he's paid a deposit. If he hasn't paid the full amount and he's not giving a clear answer when he's going to give the money, says in the Sivas, he's allowed to cancel the sale. This is, even though it's a chiddush, it's paskin in halacha, we find another place that such an idea is mentioned. The Be'etiv brings some marit as well. When you rent out a house, he talks about you rent out a house, so again, you did a kinyan, you made a contract for a year, the person's meant to pay rent every month on the first, and he's not paying rent, says the marit that if he's not paying rent, you could throw him out. Why? So many people wonder why can he throw him out? You made a kinyan, he owes you money. Why, just because he owes you money, can you throw him out of the house? And the answer is with the same idea. A person, when he's renting out a house, the only reason he's doing it is for the income, for the money that's coming in from it. And therefore, if the person's not paying, and not only not paying, he's not planning, he's not talking about someone that is stuck 1 month and explains to you, I'm going to be a few days late. We're talking about someone that deliberately just doesn't give you a clear answer, he's not planning on paying, or he doesn't give you any idea when he will pay or how he'll pay. Then there is a way to, the Maharit says you can't ask him to leave even though he has a kinyan. The question with this is, whether it applies in every case, is that the Nesivos in other places says this is only when it's clear that the reason why he sold it was because you need the money. So let's go back to the example of the car. You can have two people selling a car for two different reasons. Someone could be selling a car because he wants to buy a new car and he needs the capital that he's going to make from selling the car for his new car. So that person is clear. He's selling the car solely to get the money, otherwise he'll be left without a car. Whereas you can have someone else who, let's say, yashined a car from someone, and he doesn't need it, it's a spare car, it's an old car, it's not worth much money, but why should it sit in his drive? So he's trying to sell it. So then you see this other place says, in such a case, even if the person's not paying, you can't cancel the sale, because of course you want the money and you're only selling it for the money, but you don't need the money right now. You're not doing it solely for the money that you're going to receive that day. You're doing it because you want to get rid of the car. So therefore, even if you have to wait a bit, then, says in the Sivas, you can't cancel it. And interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah, twice in Erechaim, brings this halacha of Av Nafag Azazi. And both times he says a bit different. Once he says it by tzitzis, he says that there's a mitzvah by tzitzis that has to be lachem, it has to be yours. So he says you have to be very careful to pay for your tzitzis. Because he says, if you don't pay for your tzitzis, and the person wants his money, since Av Nafag Azazi, it cancels the sale. Since you're not planning on paying, or you don't pay on time, it could be the sale is cancelled, and therefore the tzitzis you're wearing isn't yours. Yes, so that's the question. Does this din, that's another question, if this din applies only when he wants it back, or so that, it seems from the Nesivos that it sort of automatically cancels, even though it doesn't really make sense, but that he only sold it, al das, I'll get the money. So if he's not getting the money, the sale sort of automatically void, even if it doesn't help, that he's going to get it back.
Can you get, bring Uriah from a husband who's not yet paid for the ring? It's very, very important.
Right.
If he doesn't pay for it, then the condition is not held.
Right.
If you see Uriah, he might have physically in possession the ring for his future wife, his Hannah.
Right. Yeah, so they bring, yeah, that's one of the places that we see this idea coming up, is by a ring, by Ibn Ezra. They do say this about making sure to pay in full because of this reason. Right, this is one of the rayas. And any time you see that, any time in Shulchan Aruch, not especially Chosh Mishpat, where you need something to belong to you properly, like saying by a ring and by tzitzis and other things, then the poskim do bring out this point. So also the Mishnah Berurah by Matzah, he also talks about that the matzah should be yours, it shouldn't be matzah gozel. And there as well, he says the same thing, you have to make sure you've paid for your matzah before Pesach, otherwise the sale will be void. There actually he says a bit interesting, there he says only in a case where it was clear that the person sold you the matzah needed the money. So here he switches a bit about how he paskens the halacha, he seems to say it's only in a case where it was clear that the person wanted the money. Right. Right, yeah, so we're going to come to that in a minute. Right.
That if you don't actually state it, you can't take it.
Right. Yeah, so we're going to come to how the law applies in for us, but we're going to come to that soon. But first, so this is one way that you could get the mefech back. Another way is that although the rule is usually if, let's say, Reuven owes Shimon money and he owes a lot of people money, so what happens if he only has a certain amount of money to pay back? He owes all different people, school fees, he's borrowed money from loads of people, he only has £100 to pay back. Who does it go to? The rule is the Baal Choyv Kodim, the first person he borrowed money from, he has the right to take that money, and not the later Baal Choyvos. But the Acharonim say, the Bach and the Ksos and others say that in a case where the debt is because of this of a certain item, so for example, someone sold a car to someone, and he's owed money because of that car, so then even though usually if he owes money from years before, he owes a lot of people money, they have first rights to reclaim that car as a mashkan, as claiming it for the debt. In a case where the debt is because of the car being sold, then the person that sold it has the right to claim that item first. So he gets his rights because the debt came of this item supersedes the rights of previous people that lent money. So therefore, for example, in our case, even though he owes other people money, the seller will be able to reclaim the car, not because he's cancelling the sale and that the whole sale is void, but simply because he's claiming his debt, the same way he could go and take him to a Beis Din and say, I want to claim my debt from you. I want to claim something that you owe, and if you're not paying me. So he could use that and claim this car, even though this person may owe other people money. The difference between this and the Nesivus is that it's not that he's cancelling the sale, it's just that he's claiming his debt. So it has rules. You can't just walk into his house and take it. There's a law, you're not allowed to just take things for your debt by walking into someone's house. And also, if you only owed a small amount, let's say he's paid you most of it, he only owed you £100 still, even though, according to the Stevens, he might be able to cancel the sale because he needs the full money, but you can't reclaim the car for £100 debt if the car's worth much more than that. So again, it's limited when it will apply, but it's another thing that the post can use that you could sometimes use to get your item back. The third thing is, as you were saying, that the law is a lot of times that a thing is only sold once it's paid in full, and that's the question is, does that apply between Yidden? So, Din d'machos Adina, how it applies between Yidden is another subject. But in general, if a person's selling a car to a friend and he's not doing an official contract, nothing official, then we wouldn't say that he has to follow all the laws, because the laws themselves don't mind if you don't follow all the rules. Meaning they're happy for you to come to a deal between yourselves and decide at what point this car changes ownership. They don't mind if you decide that it changes ownership according to halacha as opposed to law. So therefore, in general, it would be hard to pull it out, except when you have a contract. In many cases where there's a clear contract, the contract says that the item only changes ownership with full amount, full payment, then because of the fact that you signed it, even though it's not halakhically obligated that, but if you signed it, then you are mechuyev to what you signed, and it won't transfer ownership until you actually paid. And this causes a practical problem in for shops, let's say, that want to take more now. It's Charlotte, I think, is a problem here as well. If they want to take trumosomysa from the fruit that they get fruit delivery, and it's from Eretz Yisrael, so they want to take trumosomysa so they don't sell anything that hasn't yet had trumosomysa taken. So the problem is that if they owe the supplier money, then legally the fruit doesn't belong to them yet. And therefore, they won't be able to take trumosomysa, because you can't take trumosomysa if the fruit doesn't belong to you. So if they have to be very careful, something that they have to be aware of, and the kashrus are aware of this problem, that the shops either have to change the contract with their supplier or whatever to make sure that they can take ownership even if they've not paid in full, even though they have a bit of a debt, or they have to make sure that everything's paid in full before they take trumosomysa, otherwise it actually wouldn't work. So all this so far, so now I've said... Right, so then it's... So it depends on the contract. But if the contract says that, sort of, that they retain some sort of ownership over it, they don't have full rights over it until they've paid in full, if they would have such a contract, then it would be a problem for trumosomysa and such things.
The person who?
Yeah, it's also it could be also a problem, because very nice that he's... And I say he's paying, but if it didn't belong to them, then he can't buy it. They also talk about this by Arba Minim. The Poskim also say you have to be very careful to pay for Arba Minim because of these problems. And they also say, though, that the Poskim bring down, that you also have to be very careful to buy from a seller. That's a Yiras Shamayim, because it doesn't help if you pay the seller, but if the seller hasn't paid his supplier at all, and his supplier needs the money, and a lot of times it goes through a lot of people, a chain of people, until it gets to the end person. So if somewhere along the way someone owes his supplier a lot of money and the supplier is upset about it and wants to cancel the sale because he's not paying, then it won't help that. It might not help that you're paid for it if the supplier never owned it. So this is what they say, that you have to be careful. Besides for paying for your Arba Minim, you should also be careful to buy it from someone that you know is a Yiras Shamayim and knows that either is paid in advance or has a good deal with his supplier when he has to pay. All this... Yes, if he has an arrangement and it's clear and he's not going against his arrangement, then it's fine, because he won't cancel the sale for it. But the problem is that if he's going to, even if he has a deal that he only has to pay at the end of the week, but he's not going to at the end, so then he'll void the sale, then it could be it's voided already from the beginning. Right, so that's the problem. That's why you have to be careful that you're buying from someone that's going to pay. Well, no, you have to rely. You have to rely buying from a Yiras Shamayim who knows that there's issues and knows that you have to pay in time. This is all when you're selling an item, what the different, we saw there's three different ways that maybe you could get the item back, even though the kinyan's been chal, either because you're cancelling the sale because not paying, or because you're taking it as a gvias chayv for taking it for your debt, or it could be that if you have a contract saying that way, then it would also work. By someone that, let's say, fixes your car, though, then it's a bit more complicated, because let's say someone, you send a car to a mechanic, he fixes it, and he gives it back to you, and you're not paying him. So then he can't reclaim your car, because even if he's made your car go up in value, the halacha we pass him that he's not really koina anything in the car. He doesn't own anything in the car. It wasn't a sale. It was just a simple job that he fixed something for you. You owe the money, and he can't use that car and say, "Oh, I need that car back," because it was never his car. In cases where it'll get complicated is when you have a bit of both. For instance, someone puts in an air condition for someone. So he can have two parts to the deal. He can have the sale of the aircon and the fitting. And it can be two separate costs. And he's basically, what he's doing is two different things. He's selling him something, and he's a worker for him to fit it. But then it'll be main questionable if you'll be able to go and reclaim the aircon, because end of the day you're going to cause damage to the other person's property by doing that. And that already is another sugya. When can you, let's say someone has something of yours in his house, but to take it will cause damage. Can you do that? That's another whole debate. It's much more complicated to... There's an interesting story. Someone told me he was a computer programmer, and he made a program for someone, and there was a monthly cost that the person had to pay to upkeep it, to keep it going, and the person wasn't paying this monthly cost. So he went to ask one of the Yonim in town, what should he do? How can he? He says he's got the ability to just close down this person's program. He's got the back end to the system. And he could just delete it off the person's computer or completely shut it down and make it unusable. Can he do that? So I said, no, in such a case that he paid you for the original program, he's bought it. If he wouldn't have paid you for it, maybe you could cancel it because he never paid you for the item, you could cancel the sale. But since he paid you for the original item, and he's just not paying you the ongoing costs, even though it sounds wrong, he owes you the money. There's no reason that you could start deleting his program. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to him. You sold it to him. But he did say this, so that there's one thing you could do. You can make it that every 10 seconds a message comes up saying that, please pay. He said that might help him, remind him that he has to pay. But again, you see that it's not just a blanket header. If someone doesn't pay, automatically everything's cancelled and you could just claim everything back. It depends on the case, what he's not paying for and what. And also then there's different things what you can do. But all this is all if you've already given the item over. The question is, what happens if you haven't given the item over, but he's done a kinyan? So then the question is, what can you do? So there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that the Gemara's declaring what is an umman, someone that's working for someone, and he's a jeweler, he's got his necklace in his house that he's fixing, or he's a mechanic, he's got his car in his house that he's fixing. Is he a shomer chinam or a shomer socha on the item? Because he's not being paid to watch it, but he's being paid for his job. Does that make him into a shomer socha, which makes him more chayav for Gneva Aveda, or a shomer chinam? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why he's a shomer socha. Midi the tofes leah agri. Because he'll withhold this car until the person pays him for his job, that itself gives him, he's happy to hold it and he's happy to look after it, and that makes him into a shomer socha. And the Gemara says this as a Dava Pasha, and it doesn't explain, but really, it sounds interesting. What happened here was, I gave a mechanic my car. It belongs to me. It doesn't belong to him. Now he's fixed it. I owe him money. Why can he hold on to the car because I haven't paid him for fixing it? He would have to give me back the car, and the money that I owe him for fixing it will remain a debt. Why can he withhold my car? It was never his car. It was always mine. Why can he withhold my car just because I owe him for fixing it? So the place can say, you see clearly from here that there's an umdana, there's a clear umdana that everyone's mindset is that as long as you're holding an item, you never have to give up an item if you owed money for it. It doesn't have to be actually for the item. Even for fixing the item, it gives you a right to hold on to it. So if you go to a mechanic and he's fixing your car, now you owe him £500 for fixing the car, there's an umdana that he has a right to withhold the item, even though it doesn't belong to him, until you paid up for the work.
Is it? It's what? Not worse than a mashkin. You could say this car.
Yeah, but you never gave it. Yeah, but this is the chiddush. It's automatic mashkin. You never spoke out that it's a mashkin. It doesn't have the rules. It doesn't have. You didn't owe it at the beginning. Usually a mashkin's only once he owes it. This is from the beginning. It's understood that if he's fixing something for you, he only has to give it back to you if you pay him for the fixing, even though the item. So if this is the case by something like a car where it never belonged to the mechanics, so definitely in a case of a sale, it will definitely apply. So if you're selling something and the person's done the kinyan without actually taking it into his rishus, let's say he paid a bit of the money or he did a kinyan sudda with a handkerchief or one of the other kinyanim where he didn't actually take it, and now he comes to you and says, right, I've done the kinyan, it's my item, please can I have it? So anyone definitely has a right to say that until you give me the money for the item, then you can withhold that item as a mashkan. And this, even if it's a greater value, yeah, because you see, like by the case of the umman, the Gemara says you could withhold the item, even though the cost of fixing it might be much less than the value of the item itself. But it's understood that since I incur the cost for fixing it, I'm a mechanic, and it's based on this item, I'm allowed to withhold it from you until you actually pay me. So yeah, it will be even if it's a greater value. But the thing is, you won't be able to use it. It's considered sold. You're just holding it on. End of the day, the kinyan is chal. So let's say you sell a car and you do a kinyan that doesn't entail him taking the car. You do it with a shtau. With not a shtau, you do it with a... He pays a bit of money, or you do it with another kinyan, kinyan sudda, whatever it may be. So you don't have to give him the car until he's paid for it, but you won't be able to use it because it's considered sold. You're just holding it on until you get the money. No, it's a mashkan. You're not allowed to use a mashkan. No, so you won't be able to use it unless, because it's a mashkan for a chayv. You're not allowed to. There's rules when what you can do with a mashkan and what if he's never going to pay. But then it would go back to our previous thing. Maybe you could claim it as the debt itself. But we're talking about that he hasn't yet gone to that stage yet. He's not going to pay. He's just schlepping a bit. So yeah, you can't cancel the sale yet, and he might pay tomorrow. But you've got a right to withhold giving over the item until he pays up. And this was used, there was a shayla that similar idea that came to Rabbi Yasha from Yitzchak Zilberstein, writes about it, that someone bought a ring for Kedushin, he got married, and a couple of days later the ring fell on the floor, and it got like a scratch in it, and dent, and he went to take it to a professional. He said, how can it be? If it's a gold ring, a diamond, why would it happen? He says, it's not real. It's plated, it's not worth its value. You paid $2,000 for it, it's only worth $300. So he came to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, he was very upset. He says, I don't want to be moichel the seller. The seller tricked me. I want to go back to him, take him to Beis Din, give him the ring back, because I overpaid for it. It has a mum in it. But then it comes out that the ring was never mine, and I've never got married, and the whole kedushin is bottom. He's very worried about it. He says, what should I do? I don't want to say, oh, moichel, because he tricked me. He stole my money, and why should I let that off? But on the other hand, if I cancel the sale, then it means that there's no kedushin. So they went to Riashov. It's still? Yeah, but if he wants to cancel the sale, then it doesn't belong to him. If it's a mum, then the sale's bottled and completely cancelled, and therefore it's not your ring. And therefore, even if it's worth money, but it wasn't your money, so you was Mekadosh Anisha with someone else's money. So they went to Rabbi Yasha says, no, because of this halacha, he says that, end of the day, if you go to the person and say, right, I want my money back for the ring, what would he say? And he schleps, and he says, okay, I'll give it to you. What will he do? This ring that you do have is worth a few hundred dollars, whatever it was. It wasn't real, but it was worth a lot of money. You'll withhold it until he pays. And you have a right to withhold it, because as we saw, that any time you sell something, or any time there's money owed, and you're holding on to it, you could take it automatically as a mashkan, and you could withhold it and not give it until...
When he does give him the money back, he withholds it for a month, whatever it is.
Yeah,
when he gives the money back afterwards,
he sold it back to him. Yeah, but then it's considered that he's sort of like redeeming it. He said, Rabbi Yasha said that since end of the day, now you're holding it, you have a right to hold it and not give it to him. That is enough. That gives you enough of a bailus and enough of a kiddin to make that the kedushin was chal. You have to know how that works in Hilchos Avin Ezer. And even though at a later date he'll redeem it, but then it's like he's redeeming the mashkan. He's been poyder. It's not when you cancel a sale, you're saying the whole thing was cancelled, it was a mistake. Let's revert it to the status quo. I give you the ring back, you give me my money back. The sale was never valid. Then you're voiding it from the beginning. He said, that's not what you're doing, because you will never give it back to him and say, right, the whole thing's void. You'll say, if you pay me my money that you owe me, then I'll give it to you. So you're withholding it as a mashkan, and therefore he says that you don't have to worry. And
it was a real thing you gave it back, wouldn't it? It was a real thing and you gave it back. You need the money. It wouldn't.
No, if it's a mum, meaning it was, if it's a mum, then what you're saying is that the sale was never valid, because it wasn't the item that I paid for, and it wasn't the diamond ring, it was something else, and therefore the sale was never valid, it was void from the beginning, and then you're just reclaiming your money and you're giving it back. This is considered that the kingdom was never chal. And then that would make a problem with the kedushin. Right, so you're not... Right, so I don't know. You have to know in the Evan Ezra how he gets around how the fact that you're allowed to be the Isra there if you can be Mekadosh and the Mashkan and that. I'm not sure that. Yeah, it's an Evan Ezra, but just as a... I think that's a shame. Yeah. Yeah.